This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Scott, three wide receivers in uniform yesterday, two of them rookies after Rod Streeter went out. And at the beginning of the year, I said it, Andy said it, I believe you said it as well. If you're trusting Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman, shame on you. Well, they did, and shame on them. Because now you're impeding the progress of Baker Mayfield and Jarvis Landry. What can you possibly do about it now?
Well, it's tough. It really is at this point in the year. You know, I mean, they signed Breshad Perriman Saturday, and you hope that, you know, the first-round talent that Baltimore saw shows up, but it feels like a long shot when he fizzled out in Baltimore and then didn't stick with Washington. You can explore an Amari Cooper trade. You're taking on a big contract for next year.
Yep.
With no guarantee that he would stick after that. He's got drop issues. He got banged up yesterday. You know, and those are kind of the best options. You could revisit Rishard Matthews, I guess. The problem is when you add a guy at this stage in the season, it's tough to expect somebody to have an impact right away. But they might be at the point where they have no choice but to do that.
Do you think they came out flat yesterday? I mean, yesterday was clearly the worst game of the season. But do you think they came out flat? And if they did, whose fault? Where do you point the finger?
Well, you know, I always struggle with that when people want to put that label on it. But the players did. I talked to multiple guys that said we came out flat. We didn't have the energy we needed. And I think that's an easy thing to say when you get outplayed and get, you know, kind of routed at your own place. I think that's kind of a fallback for a lot of guys. And I do think that they kind of got ahead of themselves. You know, they really thought they had arrived. They took a lot out of that Ravens win and thought, okay, you know, we're good. We're going to be able to show up every week and be in games. And that's what was expected after the first 5 weeks. Then they come out and run into a Chargers team that's good. It's got a lot of playmakers, had a great game plan. And I don't think they were ready for that challenge. So I don't know if that's flat. I don't know if that's not preparing like they should have, if taking something for granted. But obviously the focus wasn't where it needed to be at the beginning, and then the game just got away from them.
Scott Petrak joining us. Scott, let me go back to the wide receivers for just a second. Yeah. And I think this is kind of an odd situation to be in because, and I'm guessing I speak for a lot of folks when I say this, I think Antonio Callaway is really intriguing. I thought Damian Ratley played real well yesterday. I know he had a drop, a critical drop, but you know, he basically was his first NFL action, really. First time he caught a pass in an NFL game. I thought Derek Willis was really intriguing the week before. So they have some young guys, and Rashard Higgins has made strides. And I like Rashard. So there are four guys that I think are pretty intriguing. However, you were banking on all these guys, A, being intriguing, but also producing. And to me, that's a... So I give John Dorsey and his staff credit for finding these guys, not Higgins because he was here. So that's impressive to me. But, man, they were banking on these guys to come through. And now that you're playing your rookie quarterback, you better give him some weapons. And Jarvis Landry, you're paying him a lot of money to not be double-teamed. So I'm just a little surprised that they've let it go this long. And I agree with you about Perriman. 3 or 4 years ago, really intriguing. Right now, you're keeping your fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, like you said, we talked about it, you know, in April, May, June, July,
sure,
and August,
sure,
about the question marks at receiver, and it started with Josh, and it continued to Callaway.
And Coleman.
And Coleman, right, and they cut bait on him early,
right,
but
right.
You're right, he was a question mark then. Maybe John Dorsey just felt like we have enough guys that they would all have to fizzle out for it not to work. And I know that as training camp went along, they really liked Derek Willis. And they really liked Damian Ratley.
Yeah.
And they felt like they didn't need to go get a guy like a Dez Bryant, right? That they wanted to trust their young guys. And, you know, the fact is they got through the first 5 weeks with this crew. I mean, I know Josh Gordon played week one, but that was it. And then they were relying on this crew. And then Higgins gets hurt, but he's only going to be out for a couple of weeks. So, you know, I think you can probably ham and egg it with this young group if everybody's healthy. But then you need to rely on your tight ends more. You need to rely on Duke more. And I just think yesterday, the way the game plan was, the fact that they went with so many three receiver sets, the fact that Willis got hurt Friday and then Streeter gets hurt on the first punt, it just put all the spotlight on the receiver play. And it looks like, oh, my gosh, they need to go get somebody. And I'm not arguing that they don't. I'm just saying I think John Dorsey wants these young guys to get the reps and believe in them. And the fact is, you said now they need to support Baker, but the plan was to play Tyrod.
Exactly.
So, right? So they didn't think, okay, we need to prop up this rookie quarterback. I don't think they believe they're going to contend this year. So I felt like they thought, okay, we can get by with the young guys, and then next year these guys will have all kinds of experience. The problem is, if they don't play well enough, Baker is the one that gets hurt by it.
What do we learn about Baker Mayfield yesterday in that game? What do we learn?
I think we learned that he's not a Pro Bowler yet. I think we learned that he's going to have to adjust to team defenses doing all they can to keep him in the pocket. And Anthony Lynn, the Chargers coach, said that was our goal. We were going to stay in our rush lanes and not let him get outside because he felt that's where Baker was the most dangerous. So he's got to prove that he can stand in the pocket with four or five defenders and four or five linemen in his face and still be able to spot guys running open and get him the ball. And it felt like Baker was hesitant to me. It felt like he was a little confused. I don't know if he thought they would play more man coverage and instead they played zone. But early on, even before he tweaked the ankle, he just didn't look comfortable to me. And I think he saw something that he wasn't expecting from that Chargers defense, and he's going to have to adjust to that because teams are going to do all they can to keep him in the pocket, and he's going to have to prove that he can win from the pocket.
Did you think he can?
I do, and okay. The reason I say it is because I think he makes quick decisions. I think he's accurate. I love his arm. Now, the accuracy and the quick decisions weren't there yesterday because he held the ball too long. And he took too many sacks, and he missed guys, and he said that. His accuracy is one of my trademarks, and I wasn't accurate enough. But I think, you know, I don't want to overreact to one poor game from Baker, and he was hurt by drops. And, you know, if they score a couple of touchdowns, Callaway and Ratley hang on to the ball, I think we'd look at Baker's play differently. But I just felt like almost from the start, he just didn't seem to have that same comfort level in the pocket. And I think it was a combination of the Chargers defense and the fact that, you know, he's working with new receivers. I don't think the receivers did a great job of getting open early. But he just wasn't as sharp as he had been the first three games. And I think that's to be expected from a rookie. But I think people were hoping – we hadn't seen him struggle. So then until you see it, you're thinking, oh, this guy's never going to struggle. Well, he is because he's a rookie and it's the NFL.
All right, two quick questions. Do you think he struggled because he slipped on the mat? Do you think that – was a hindrance for him yesterday? I do. I don't think he looked the same after he slipped.
I don't think it helped, but I thought before that I saw hesitancy.
You saw rookie
and
issues.
The inability to get out of the pocket, yeah.
The other question I have, too, that I walk out of this, and you hear Hugh Jackson say it after the game, this one's on me. What does it mean when a head coach says, this one's on me?
I think it means that you've heard it said by other guys 100 million times, so you feel like you should say that. You know,
right?
I mean, he's trying to step up, and he's trying to take stuff on his shoulders, and it's his team, and he drives the bus, and all that stuff, and that's what a head coach is supposed to say. You know, Hugh, I think it's fascinating how we look at Hugh because to me, there's not in the first six games there hasn't been one point where I go, man, Hugh cost him the game because he didn't take a timeout or he messed up this game management situation. On the other hand, when a team loses, it falls on the head coach. I thought his coordinators didn't do a good job of adjusting, whether it was Todd Haley going away from the three receiver sets, whether it was Greg Williams figuring out how to stop the jet sweep, which he couldn't figure out all day. You know, playing Baker and guys on defense talked about the lack of adjustments in game. So that falls on the coaches. But I think our whole view of Hugh is shaped by 1-31. And that's not going away. And the only way he can even mitigate that is if he wins games. Because if they get in a losing streak, everybody's going to talk about Hughes' job security, and it all goes back to 1-31, and that's justified. It's just hard to get out of that hole if you're Hugh.
It's the first time this year that they haven't been in a game, and obviously you're going to have a clunker from time to time. But, man, what a terrible time to have it. You know, just when you're 2-2-1, you got a chance to stay right there in the division. You've got a game in Tampa next week where you think, all right, that defense might be susceptible. And boy, I just don't think they could have picked a worse time to have their clunker. Now, that's the bad thing.
Yeah, you're right, Jeff. And plus, everybody was so excited. You're looking at the first winning streak. I mean, if two games counts as a winning streak, you're looking at the first winning streak since 2014. You could be 3-0-1 at home, the best home record since 1963. You had all this momentum and all these possibilities, and then you lay the egg, and now you know how the NFL is. We react so fervently to every game, right? Oh, my God, they're great because they beat the Ravens. Oh, my God, they're awful because they lost to the Chargers.
Yeah.
But the fact is, now they go to Tampa, and it almost looks like a must-win because after that's to Pittsburgh. Then you're home for Kansas City and Atlanta. And all of a sudden, you're looking at, man, this could become a five-game losing streak, right? And then all the good vibes are washed away. So it does. The mindset changes. And I expect them to come back and play better against Tampa, but that's got to turn into a win. And you got to solve all the errors that showed up yesterday. So it was a terrible time for a clunker, and it just makes you question what you think you knew about this team through the first five games because I was convinced they were going to compete in all of them, and then they come out and get blown out at home.
Yep, I agree. Scott, thank you very much, bud.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram. Read his work at brownzone.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.